Well, let's get into Psalm 11. We have seven verses tonight in Psalm 11. And this is good. Psalm 11. And what this is a psalm of confidence, that King David has received confidence from the Lord, and he's speaking this psalm in great confidence. This is among other psalms of confidence in the Bible. And we want to list those off to you. So maybe sometimes when you're kind of feeling scared inside and shaky, and you need some confidence in the Lord. Confidence always comes in the Lord. We're not to be confident in ourselves, but in the Lord. And if you have a pen, you can write these other psalms down if you would like. Psalm 4 is a psalm of confidence. Psalm 16. Psalm 23. Psalm 27. Psalm 62. Psalm 125 and Psalm 131, along with Psalm 11. These are psalms of confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, although he was King David having confidence in the Lord as he wrote this psalm to bring forth confidence of the Lord to us, there are two voices in the psalm. There is the voice of faith that we see, which is the confidence in the Lord, and also the voice of urging flight. That is, take off, get out of here, things are too hard, exit stage left. The voice of flight is in here, and the voice of faith. And of course, David is shining through with the voice of faith, but we know that the other voice is from the enemy. Now with that, let's go ahead and start the psalm, and we see both voices in the first verse. It says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul?" And here's the negative voice, or the voice of flight. "Flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" What are we going to do? We just have to flee and run. This is the voice of flight. So from verses 1b, flee as a bird to your mountain, all the way down to the end of verse 3, we have the idea of the wicked is too strong, too great for us. We've got to get out of here and get out of here fast. And it's just kind of a fleeing type verse. I remember this is kind of a funny way as an example, but it kind of hits the point. Peter Marshall is a famous preacher. He was the chaplain of the Senate during World War II. His wife, Catherine Marshall, wrote many books. And in her book on about Peter Marshall, A Man Called Peter is the name of the book by Catherine Marshall, she shares about her husband. And at one time when he went to preach, he got a note. And he was just about ready to preach to a large group, and he opened the note, and it just said, "Flee, all has been discovered." And it was kind of a joke from her friend, you know. Everybody knows about you, Peter. You better just get out of there. But the idea is really what we see here. Flee as a bird. Just kind of run away from your responsibilities, even though it was a joke at the time. This is the kind of thing that the enemy, the devil, will bring into you about your circumstances in your life. You just need to flee. You need to put on your Nikes and run. I'd like to give you a parallel scripture to this idea in Psalm 55. Let's look at Psalm 55 and verses 4 through 8. When I started studying for this section of scripture, flee as a bird. Flee as a bird is the word that's given on the voice of flight. Immediately this psalm came to my mind. because of the experience that Ashuri and I actually had with this at one time. And I'll just read these verses to you. Psalm 55, verse 4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. And oh, it's so tempting to fall into that mood when times are rough, when seasons are hard, when circumstances of life that need to be faced by you and I in the power of the Lord and through trusting God, how this voice of flying away does want to break in. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away. We were at the airport with our son Jeremiah and his wife and kids, and they were heading off for Idaho, and we were in one of these tough times in our walks and in our life, and just kind of bummed out and had been talking a lot about some trials. And so as we were waiting for them to take off on their flight, we had given them a ride to the airport, and those are the days before 9/11, so we could go in to the airport at Orange County Airport there and sit in the chairs and say goodbye to them from there as they got on the plane. And just looking at those big silver birds, and I looked at Sherry and I said, isn't that a beautiful sight, that big shiny silver bird? I just want to get on that thing and fly away. And just that thought. And of course, this is maybe a common thing among people. I just need to get away. I just need to get away. Now, in one sense, there's nothing wrong with that when God plans a vacation for you. And I'd love my time with Ron in Hawaii and different times that God has given Sherry and I some really great vacations. That's a good thing. But never, ever, when I'm running away from circumstances of life. Because you know what? All of that fear is inside ourselves. And we really can't get away from ourselves. If that's what you're doing, it won't work. Those problems and worries and fears will follow you wherever you go. And so we need to deal with those things in the Lord and hear the voice of faith first, as David gave us in the first part of verse 11. I like what McGee says about this. Don't you love McGee? He's always so down to earth. Dr. Vernon McGee, the Bible bus man. He says this, and I had to quote, I have to write it down. No matter where you go, you're going to have to lug yourself along. No matter where you go, you're going to have to lug yourself along. You can never get run away from yourself. So it's something to remember, to rebuke that urgent voice of flee, fly, run to that voice of faith that will cause us to stand up like men and women in Jesus Christ. As the Bible says, quip ye like men. Stand and face the music and let God's blessings be there because of trust in Him and His abilities. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's go back to chapter 11 of Psalms, and we just saw how this is true, and we'll read the first part of verse 1 again. In the Lord put I my trust. How are you going to say then to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? No, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to trust the Lord, is what David's saying. Now, in verse 3, it says this, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is such a tempting verse to tap into, especially today for us. It seems like the foundations of this country are folding in upon us. The foundations are weak and stumbling. And so we say, what can one righteous man do? I might as well give up and hide my head somewhere, because it's not politically correct anymore to be a strong Christian. I had my granddaughter ask me yesterday in the car. She said, "Poppy, I noticed that the sign for doctors are Moses' serpent in the wilderness. And if you'll notice, the sign for medicine and doctors is exactly what that is. The serpent in the wilderness. Because why? Because the wilderness and the serpent in the Bible, as the people were being bitten and killed by serpents, the Lord told Moses to make a brass serpent and hold it up, and the people, when they would look at it, they were healed. And so it became the sign for medicine and the medical world and doctors way back 1700s, because the whole nation was Christian, believed the Bible. The Bible was the first textbook at Princeton, at those Ivy League schools, first textbook that they studied from. They were all seminaries producing pastors. And so those were the old days in America. And I explained that to my granddaughter. And I had to tell her that many doctors are non-Christians today, but they still have the same symbol because of tradition. But it's kind of a dead tradition to believe in the Lord in their healing practices. We do have our Christian doctors, praise God. But for the larger part, as much of America, there's unbelievers out there. And these things just have become symbolic. So what we're looking at then is the foundations kind of crumbling in our nation. But we don't want to say, what can one righteous man do? We want to say, me and God are majority. And the Lord wants to use us, like he's using Brother Ron, to do his part. What the Lord said to him was, take care of the homeless. I don't have any money. Don't you worry about the money. I'll give it to you. And what the Lord said to us is, start a Christian school. And that's what we did. And so we fight for our school, and we love our school here at the church. And for us to do our individual parts as God speaks to us individually in our different areas of influence. We keep going in the Lord. In the Lord we put our trust. We stand on the foundation that doesn't crumble. And let's read about that in the New Testament. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. And it says this. As we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. And the foundation of the apostles is simply the New Testament, the apostles' doctrine, and the prophets. Just the Old Testament. Actually, Moses was a prophet. We're told that in the Bible very clearly. And he wrote the first five books of the Bible, which is the Jewish law. And so we are built upon, number one, the apostles, and number two, the prophets, which is the Old Testament, the New Testament, Old Testament of the Scriptures. That is our foundation. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God has laid a strong foundation for you and I that will never crumble. Yes, on the earth, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And God will see to that in short time in the book of Revelation he talks about. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But your foundation and my foundation, the apostles and the prophets, the Word of God, Old and New Testament, and the Lord Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and us being built together on top of them and on top of his Word, nothing will ever shake that foundation. That foundation will never crumble. And that's why we just go and cling to God. We just grab hold of him and hang on. For the Lord is the one that has planted us upon the rock that doesn't roll. And he is a strong, strong foundation. The person that builds his house upon the rock, the winds will come and the rains will fall, but that house will stand firm. And so we never have to worry about that foundation. And so David knows that. David is giving confidence to us in this word, in contrasting his trust in the Lord with what the voices want to say, to flee as a bird, because the wicked have done these horrible things and the foundation is being destroyed. And what can the righteous do? Oh, well, this is what the righteous can do. And now we have many verses here for the voice of urging faith, verse 4 of Psalm 11. So let's go back to Psalm 11. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. In other words, very simply, he is watching us. He is watching everyone, every single move that a person makes. And he's trying us or testing us. He's working with our lives. He will allow those tests to come, but they're only a test. They're not a destructive agent. The enemy, the lion, comes in only to destroy and to devour, but the Lord does not allow that for his kids, because he's watching, watching every move, watching our back. He's our rear reward. His eyes upon us, his hand is upon us. And so it is that he is in his holy temple, and his throne is in heaven, and his eyes are beholding. The Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loves violence, his soul hates. Now, you read that verse and it seems kind of hard. The Lord hates the wickedness of the wicked, and those that will persist in their wickedness will reach actually a hateful end, cast into the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, I was interested to see what Dr. McGee felt about this. I just love old Dr. McGee, and the things he says are so down to earth. And he just kind of put it this way. God is not a lovey-dovey, sentimental old gentleman from Georgia. Just kind of puts it, you know, right to you. That's not who he is. He's a just God. He is a jealous God. He will visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. We must accept Jesus Christ to become righteous before him. And there's a judgment day coming. No, indeed. The Lord God Almighty is not a lovey-dovey, sentimental old gentleman from Georgia. He's God Almighty, and he will not be mocked. Be not deceived. I am not mocked, he says. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap of the flesh destruction. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit life everlasting. And that's just the truth. That's the way it is. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. They're very serious words, very sobering words. But this is what the truth is. And so the violent soul is not going to receive the grace of God, because they will not open their hearts to do that. Verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, or traps, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loves righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright. His countenance does behold the upright. I love the way that Job puts this in Job 36:7. He simply says this, he that is the Lord withdraws not his eyes from the righteous. Withdraws not his eyes from the righteous. I just think of that song. I don't know if you remember that old song. I can't take my eyes off of you. You're just too good to be true. And that's the way the Lord feels about us. His delight is with the sons of men. And for those that will simply surrender to him and believe him as Abraham believed in the Lord, it was accounted to him for righteousness, as we've been studying on Sunday morning. He withdraws not his eyes from the righteous. He's always beholding you. Now, I would like to go ahead and take a look at a couple of verses on that, on his eyes on us, his countenance upon us, and then look at a different translation, which is also true. And so let's take a look at Psalm 42:5. Just turn over to Psalm 42:5. The psalmist says this in Psalm 42:5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." That the Lord is able to shine on us in such a way, with his eyes beholding us, that we are helped. And we turn from despair to praise just by the help of his countenance, his glory shining upon us, him setting us free from just his presence. This is said again in Psalm 43 with just a little enlargement, so we want to look at it. Verse 5 of Psalm 43 puts it this way. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." So his countenance shining upon us helps us and brings health to my countenance. The vibrancy and the beauty and the release that comes to me because of the help of his countenance and his beauty, his perfection, waiting and willing just to engulf me in his love. And then me responding and just beginning to glow. You know, I like to think of us as kind of like the moon and the Lord like the sun. The moon is simply a reflector of the sun's glorious light. The reason the moon is so bright at night is because it's a reflection of the sunlight. It bounces off of it back to the earth at night. And so with the Lord, we're just reflectors of God's beauty. And as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed. We are changed from glory to glory. The Father is changing us. And he's changing us into the image of his Son. And it's a wonderful thing that God's doing with the glory of his countenance, as we read at the last verse in Psalm 11. That his countenance is upon us. His eyes are upon us. His beauty is upon us. Now, another way to translate this last clause, which is also very correct, and is actually translated in the NIV this way, and I'll just quote it to you. The upright shall see his face. The upright shall see his face. And so we want to go now and finish tonight with Psalm 27 and a few verses there. So let's go to Psalm 27. And first we want to look at verse 4. This is another Psalm of David. He's talking about the countenance of the Lord, and he's talking about the upright seeing God's face. And so David says this, "One thing," I just consider that, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to what? To behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire in his temple. To just look at him. To just love him. And you know, as we gather here tonight, and we've seen this tonight, we've seen this with the worship team, as they're singing their hearts out and moving us up into the Holy of Holies before the Lord, our hearts begin to glow. And we begin to be released. Why? Because it's the countenance of the Lord through music that's touching our hearts and just sitting before him and loving him in worship together. and his countenance shines on us, and then we begin to release and begin to behold his beauty. And then we begin to inquire of him, Lord, how we doing? Is this okay, Lord? Is that okay, Lord? And we begin to get our hearts pricked and brought closer to him, his countenance shining on our countenance, and we reflecting that love back up to him. And then, as we look at this and beholding the beauty of the Lord, as I just said, we begin to inquire in his temple. Now let's take a look at Psalm 27, verse 13. And this talking about hard times again. We don't want to flee or faint at what we have to face in this life. We rather want to trust God. And it says this in Psalm 27, 13. I had fainted. Oh yeah, many times I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Yes, those times of wanting to faint will come. Those times of wanting to flee will come. But no, we wait on the Lord. And be of good courage in the name of Jesus, and he shall strengthen your heart. You know, I just mentioned briefly when we first met Ron back in 2003, I guess it was, because you got married a year later, Brother Ron. But we were at Turtle Bay, and I had drank a whole quart of Pog. And what Pog is delicious Hawaiian juice. You can't stop drinking it till the quart is gone. And I ate pizza with it. And I've got sugar problems. And I'm finding out, you know, since then, that a lot of my fears that I had and disorders were from too much sugar. And so I had all this sugar, and I was just really getting freaked out and really having panic attacks. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. My heart was going off. My wife is going, speak to me, what's wrong with you? And I couldn't speak. I was bent over and just going a mile a minute on the heart. I'd been in the jacuzzi for 30 minutes. Everything was wrong. And anyway, so I had this long fear thing through the night, not knowing what in the world was wrong with me. And so the next morning was Sunday, and we went in to Ron's service, and he was speaking on faith. And I'll tell you, as the countenance of the Lord was there through the worship that was there and at Ron's sermon, boy, the Lord just started to speak to my heart. And I'm telling you, I was so thankful. I had fainted unless I had believed, got that sermon on faith, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And my heart was strengthened. And I'm so thankful. And that's one big reason he's here tonight, because he was so important to me for that trip. So important to me. I was desperate. I was wanting to flee. I was wanting to faint. But God was merciful. And so when I got home to California, and I was still alive, thank God, I wrote a letter to Brother Ron and thanked him for that. And then through the mail, we became really good friends. So thank you again for that, brother. And God is good to do that, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Oh man, so many times we want to faint or flee or whatever, and we just need to get back in the Word, get back to our foundation, get back to fellowship, get back to singing to Jesus. And his countenance then will shine upon us, and our countenance will reflect back the glory of the Lord as we look in his face, and he will strengthen your heart. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Let's stand and pray together. Father, just thank you so much, Lord God, for all that you're doing in our lives. Lord, thank you for what you're doing here tonight, Lord, and encouraging us again to be with our brother David in one of the Psalms of confidence. Not confidence in the flesh. We put no confidence in the flesh. but Lord, that our confidence is in you. Jesus, you are able. And Father, we would not want to ever flee or ever faint. And Lord, when we go on vacations and you take us different places to, as you would get away, come away to a desert place that you might rest for a while, as you say in the word to your disciples. Lord, may we always go not in the flight attitude, I gotta get away, but we go in the attitude of, this is what Jesus has for me now. Lord, help us with these things. Lord, we know that these things are real in our lives, Lord. We always and only want to trust you. And so thank you, Father. Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like prayer for anything tonight, John Luke will be making his way down to the prayer room, being there to pray with you. And there's lots of room to pray all around the building. Don't leave without having prayer if you need prayer tonight for anything. May the Lord bless you now. May God just continue to lead you.